welcome to Twigged. A light-hearted plant-based podcast exploring the vegetal roots of history and folklore, what'll kill you, and what makes a decent snack.
She's Alex, and she is a history and folklore and plant enthusiast.
And that's Alice. She is a plant eater extraordinaire and a very funny, very nice person, and I like her.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, are you feeling energetic? Are you feeling good?
Kind of.
This week, what are we going to talk about, Alice?
My absolute number one favourite plant this week. I'm very excited. It's potatoes.
Now, Alice, I used to live with you and we did some Christmas dinners together. As I remember, you made 4 types of potato, I think, one Christmas.
There's always roasties and mash.
Right.
I think you were like, I want to try these new recipes. And I was like, yes, I'm totally for these new recipes, but we also still need to have the old traditional dishes as well. So we just did them all.
I have a feeling you also went back to your family not too long after that. And then I just ate potatoes for weeks.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I think I say this every week. I'm always like, there's too much. I looked at too much. But I think it's also just because I'm, to give some backstory, when I was 8 or 9 years old, we had a section on summarizing. I kept just looking at the story and then writing it in different words in a way that was actually longer than the original story.
You're the anti-summarizer.
I just can't do it.
Maybe we should make the full extended edition podcast for the super keen fans, you know, like Lord of the Rings, to the extended version.
Or it can be like, you know how they have apps to help you go to sleep now?
Oh, yeah.
2 hours of people going, what? Wait, hang on. What? It's a plant. It's plants. Plants? Plants. Anyway, yes, this week is potatoes. So the Latin name is Solanum tuberosum, and that's the plant. What we know is the potato is the starchy tuber of this plant. So Solanum may or may not come from the word sol, which means sun. Tuberosum comes from the root for tubers.
Sun tubers.
And potato comes from patata, which is the Spanish word for it. And patata comes from a mix of batata, which is sweet potato in Taino, which is a language of the indigenous people from the Caribbean, and papa, which is Quechua for potato. So it's a mix of papa and batata, makes potato. It's a perennial in the nightshade family, so it's related to deadly nightshade, aubergines, tomatoes, tobacco, and the other plants in the family. So physical description. They can grow to about 100 centimeters tall. And above ground, you've got bright green leaves that grow on a stem. So it's a central stem. And on either side of it, you get a few larger primary leaves growing side by side. And in between them, you get some medium-sized and small leaves. And at the end of the stem, you get one larger leaf. So it tapers off in a point. And at the top of the plant, you get flowers. And they vary in color. White flowers, purple flowers, pink, blue, and they've got very protruding yellow stamens in the center and yellowy-green berries, which look a bit like unripe cherry tomatoes. And then underground, you get the roots and tubers, which are the potatoes. Well, the tubers are the potatoes, the roots are just the roots. And I was going to say we all know what these look like, but they actually come in tons of different shapes, sizes, and colors. A lot of which we don't tend to have here in the UK.
Well, I suppose in most parts of the world, the most common potato will be like a white potato, like a Maris Piper or a King Edward or a Jersey Royal or something like that, which has quite a pale skin.
I love that you know the names
skin.
Of potatoes. I just think they're like potatoes. And I'm always surprised when some of them fall apart if I boil them and some of them don't. They are vegetatively propagated, which means you can plant a potato by planting a potato or a piece of potato. You can like leave a potato out in the sun and then it'll start to sprout. And then you can cut it up so that each little sprout is its own thing. And so from one potato, you can make a bunch of potatoes. And if you do it that way, then all of the subsequent tubers will be clones of the original tuber.
Oh, wow.
But you can also plant them from seeds, and that will make new tubers which are not genetic clones.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Alice, can you eat it?
You absolutely can. And you should.
Well, I would like to add a caveat to that.
Oh.
Because you can eat the tuber, but all the other parts of the plant are poisonous. I kind of knew that you didn't eat the other parts of the plant, but I didn't realise that they have pretty high toxin contents.
Yeah, no one ever warned you, like when you're a kid, oh, don't go and eat those potato leaves.
No, exactly.
As tempting as they are.
But yeah, the leaves, sprouts, flowers, fruits, all of that is has a really high glycoalkaloid content. So that'll make you not feel great. And actually, even the tubers, if you don't store them correctly, they can produce a higher quantity of glycoalkaloids and can become harmful. So if your potatoes go green, it may or may not be a sign that they are getting a little poisony.
A little bit on the poisony side.
Just a wee spot of the poison.
If your potatoes are poisony, just do some mashy with some buttery and you'll be fine. No, don't.
And now it's time for bad advice with Alice.
That is definitely a segment on every podcast. We may not have acknowledged it and made it official, but it's been there.
Bad advice with Alice. Da, da, da.
I love that.
I have a story which I think would fit quite well here.
Awesome.
Should I just do it?
Do it.
Great. So there is a Bolivian legend of Choque and the potato.
Yeah.
Choque was one of the Sapala people, and the Sapalas lived in peace in this beautiful part of what's now Bolivia, and they had absolutely everything they needed. They just had a very wonderful, happy society. But then one day they were invaded by the Caries, who were fleeing their own lands because a volcano erupted and absolutely devastated the land where they lived. So the Caries defeated the Sapalas, took their lands, and forced the Sapalas to live as slaves for them. And there was this one man named Choque, and Choque was descended from the leaders of the Sapalas. He stood up to the Caries time and time again, despite all the punishments that they dealt out to him over and over and over again. He refused to work for them and continued to worship the Sapala gods. So the god Viracocha was very impressed by Choque's defiance, and he sent a condor to show Choque where he could find seeds of a plant that humans did not yet know about. So secretly, Choque and the Sapalas found these seeds, and then they planted and tended to them until they grew into plants with beautiful flowers and tiny little fruits. And then the Caries noticed these plants and their fruits, and they took them all for themselves. They chopped them down, and they cooked the leaves and the fruits, and they ate it all, leaving nothing for the Sapalas. And the Sapalas thought, well, that's it. That was all their hard work. They'd tended to these plants that the gods had told them about, and now there was nothing left for them. And then that night, the condor visited Choque again and told him that now was the time to take back their land. So the Sapalas went out and they found that all of the Caries were absolutely, like, horrendously sick. And they chased them out of their lands fairly easily because they were all incredibly sick. And then another night, the condor came back and told Choque to go back to where they had grown those plants that the Kari had stolen and to dig in the ground. So the next day, Choque went with some of the other Sapalas and they did that, and they found the tubers of the plants under the ground. And they cooked and ate them, and they were delicious. And they were the potatoes.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then Choque became the leader of the Sapalas, and they returned to their happy, peaceful existence, and they continued to cultivate potatoes as a sign of respect for the gods.
Such a great end to a story. And they ate them and they were delicious. It's my perfect fairy tale. This is the point where I've got just a massive list of potato dishes, which is probably too long to include.
Say it as quickly as humanly possible. Just go, Alice. Go, go, go. Name
go,
me potatoes.
Go, go. Okay, so all across the world, potatoes have been absorbed into traditional cuisine. In France, we have potato dauphinois or potato au gratin. In Italy, we've got gnocchi. Spain, we've got patatas bravas and tortilla. In Switzerland, we've got rosti. In India, we've got Bombay aloo, sag aloo, potato stuffed paratha bread, potato filled doses. In Indonesia, we've got gado gado. In the Middle East, patata hara, Russian potato salad. Thailand, we've got curry with potato in it, especially a Massaman curry. In Africa, we've got potato stew, although they do tend to rely on other carbohydrates a lot more, and the potatoes they use are more often sweet potatoes rather than the bastard potatoes, which they were briefly called by the Spanish to distinguish them from the sweet potato. And that's it.
I love that they're called bastard potatoes.
Yeah. When they first came over, they were familiar with sweet potatoes and they were like, oh, well, what do we call these? White potatoes? Bastard potatoes?
Like what we think of as traditionally British or Irish is really
best
like
avoided.
Irish. Exactly. Like, for example, fish and chips, pie and mash, sausage and mash. We didn't have potatoes until the 16th century.
No, that's true.
And we've got Irish stew in Scotland, neeps and tatties. Rumbledy thumps, tatty scones, Welsh coal, which is a lot like Irish stew.
What is that?
Rumbledy thump is like a traditional Scottish dish. I think it's like baked and it's got potatoes in it along with whatever vegetables and meat you have on hand as well, I think.
Amazing. I want to look up rumbledy thump.
Rumbledy thumps,
Rumbledy thumps. I'm looking that up and I'm making it based on the name.
And that's not even naming the traditional like dishes of lots of South American countries where they would have been using them first.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in South America, you've got tons of potatoes. Growing up, we had papas a la huancaína. It's potatoes with like a creamy chili sauce. I think it's called cheese in it. I don't know. I was a child, so I didn't have to make my own food.
Yeah.
So potatoes originally grew in the Americas and they were domesticated in Peru, Bolivia, what we now know of as Peru and Bolivia, around 10,000 years ago. They were first brought to Europe from the Americas by the Spanish in the 16th century. And then from there, European mariners brought potatoes to ports all over the rest of the world. And China is now the top producer of potatoes in the world. They produce like almost 100 million tons per year.
I was so surprised about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have, in true me fashion, a very long-winded and yet incomplete account of the
just
history.
What we want.
I think I've struck just the right balance.
That's what we want.
Verbose, but lacking.
I want to listen to a 20-minute podcast about nothing but potatoes and yet still come away not knowing very much about potatoes. Can you do that for me, please?
I'm on it.
Please tell me your partial history.
All right. So people associate it with the Inca, but actually the domestication of potatoes predates them by several millennia.
Well,
because the Inca weren't an ancient civilization.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think I imagined that it was further back.
So wild potatoes were growing in the Andes, but apparently wild potatoes are quite bitter and they contain some fairly serious toxins, solanine and tomentine. And I was reading an article that the Smithsonian magazine wrote about potatoes. And apparently there are some animals in the Andes, the guanaco and vicuña, who are related to llamas. And they will lick clay before eating wild potatoes.
Oh, wow.
And the clay helps to absorb the toxins so that they can pass through their systems without poisoning them.
That's really cool.
And then even cooler, or equally cool, is the fact that people cottoned on to this many millennia ago. And so people in the Andes would have put potatoes into clay to kind of draw out the toxins before eating them.
Oh.
Is how I've understood what I read.
Yeah.
And then gradually over time, they bred out the highly toxic varieties and bred for less toxic / non-toxic tubers. And subsequent civilizations continued to expand upon this domestication And then eventually, several millennia later, the Inca started kind of conquering large parts of the Andes. They were amazing at cultivating and growing potatoes. They had loads of different varieties that they'd grow in different places depending on the altitude, the soil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But even though they insured against crop failure with all of this variety, they also found a way to freeze dry potatoes using...
Yeah, the Incas invented smash. I did not know that.
What's smash?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So smash is basically a tub of dried potato-y stuff. It's the kind of thing that students would eat. I didn't hear about this until I went to England, because obviously in Ireland, doing that to potatoes would be sacrilege. But when I came over here, I discovered that the English like to dry potato, put it in a tub as if it's some kind of stock mixture, and then you add hot water and then it turns into mashed potatoes.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that's weirdly quite similar to this thing that the Incas are doing. So chuño was, they'd leave them out to freeze and then they'd dry them out, and then they could store them for up to roughly like 6 years. So if they had a really bad crop one year, they had all this chuño that they could then turn to. The Spanish then, as you said, invaded Peru in the 16th century and brought the potatoes back to Europe with them. So initially, potatoes were kind of exciting for Europeans, but then they kind of fell out of favor. They would feed them to animals, but they didn't really see them as being suited for people. Some people seem to have found them too flavorless. Sorry, Alice. I know. But some of the resistance was weirdly like religio-political.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in 17...
Phallic. No, they're not really phallic.
Not even that. So in 1765, there was someone running to be an MP. He had a slogan that said, "No potatoes, no popery." So it was just like an anti-Catholic. They saw potatoes as a Catholic thing.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
But despite the fact that they were Catholic food, they weren't very popular in France. And they were even outlawed for some time in France because they thought they caused leprosy.
It's funny that, because some peoples used potatoes to cure all sorts of illnesses and ailments, from like skin diseases, sunburn, to heal wounds, treat fevers, headaches, even smelly feet. And they used all different parts of the potato plant, like leaves, juice, peel, everything. And they basically thought of it as like a wonder plant that would cure everything.
That's amazing. There's also, do you remember in the Rowan Tree episode, I talked about the Fitzwilliams Museum? Pitt Rivers Museum.
Pitt Rivers, yes.
The Pitt Rivers
Oxford.
Museum. Yeah. So they have a dried old potato in their collection that people were meant to carry around for rheumatism, but it only worked if it was a stolen potato.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Oops.
Yeah.
Also, if you break a bone, then you just like put a raw potato on it and it cures it.
Is this folklore or is this Alice?
This is Alice's questionable advice again. If it's broken, put a potato on it. If you're sad, put a potato in you.
I'm just imagining people like with half a potato stuck to the side of their heads, like held on by rope.
Oh, I just got a headache. I'm just waiting for the potato to kick in.
Shall I wang on a bit more about these potatoes?
Please wang on about the potatoes. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the way they ended up actually becoming an accepted crop in Europe is that in the 18th century, there were some massive grain crop failures throughout several countries in Europe. And so at that point, it was very much like a top-down order. The leaders were like, you peasants, eat potatoes now. So I want to talk a bit about how this happened in France. As we discussed, in France, they were very anti-potato. They thought they caused leprosy. They literally outlawed them. But there was a French pharmacist called Parmentier. So Parmentier fought in the Seven Years' War, and he was captured several times over the course of it. While he was a prisoner of the Prussians, he was fed mostly potatoes, and he felt amazing.
Oh, wow.
So when the war ended, he came back to France. He was like, guys, potatoes are great. And no one really listened to him. And everyone was like,
I was a prisoner of war and I've never felt so good.
Yeah. Basically, he's like, they are incredible. They have lots of nutrition. It's really good. It's a good way of feeding people. And everyone kind of ignored him for a while. And he went on this big PR campaign. At the same time, The price of bread in France had gone up astronomically because there had been price controls on grain, which Louis XVI had taken away. So Parmentier was like, well, great. Okay, so bread is super expensive now. Everyone should eat potatoes. And so in order to like promote this idea, he made this massive, entirely potato feast for the king and queen and a bunch of other fancy people. And he planted a bunch of potatoes near Paris so that people would steal them.
Sounds like my next birthday party.
I can throw you a Parmentier-style dinner for your next birthday.
I would love that so
much. If we're allowed to be in the same place.
Yes, please.
I read somewhere that he posted guards there, but then told the guards that they should accept any bribes and just like routinely wander off. That way people would think it was something valuable and they'd want to steal them.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he got, this may be untrue, but I did read it a few places. He's meant to have got the king and queen of France to wear potato blossoms in on like on their clothes and in their hair.
Oh, wow. Well, this is like a major PR campaign.
Huge. He was really, really into it. But then the French Revolution was happening, so there were other things that people were worried about. So his kind of campaign didn't really get off the ground.
Understandable.
Yeah. Eventually, during the French Revolution and toward the end of it, the people did start to embrace potatoes. And there was a Republican potato cookbook was written, and they started growing potatoes all over the place.
That's really funny that they were like, oh, let's stick some guards at it and be like, yeah, you want this because you can't have it.
Yeah.
If that worked.
And so eventually potatoes became a major staple in Europe, and via Europe was brought to the rest of the world. And then I feel like we'd be remiss not to mention the famine of 1845.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Generally, after the introduction of potato, famine went down because prior to them being introduced, there were regular famines throughout Europe.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the reason it was as bad as it was that they relied heavily on just a few varieties.
Yeah, and I think impact that the potato had in causing this mass immigration of people is worthy of note.
Yeah, huge numbers of people emigrated. So most people in Ireland will have relatives who live in one of those places, America, Canada, or Australia.
It's interesting when seismic world events can be traced back to one single plant.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Great, that's pretty much everything I've got, with the exception of a quick, tiny little fact I want to talk about. In 2015, SIP, which is the International Potato Center in Lima, Peru, worked with NASA to simulate growing potatoes on Mars.
Oh, wow, yeah.
They were experimenting. They created Martian-like environment and tried growing potatoes in it. And I think they did all right.
That's amazing. Will you be eating Mars potatoes if that's what the future looks like?
I'll eat anything.
Yeah, I'll totally eat a Mars potato.
I feel better about Martian potatoes than about Smash.
Yeah, fair enough. Although I think for the purposes of this podcast, you should probably try it just so that you've learned some things. I really enjoyed the potted history of the potato.
This was episode 5 of Twigged. Please tell any friends you think might have a passing interest in any of our subject matter. Reach out to us if you'd like to. We can be followed. I mean, not literally followed. You can find us on Instagram at Twigged Podcast. And we have a website, which is twiggedpodcast.com.
Our email address is twiggedpodcast@gmail.com.
That's all the ways to contact us, right? If you know us already, yeah, you can send us a text. And if you don't know us, we won't give you our numbers. That would be weird, although we're desperate for human contact.
Fancy a chat? We could chat about anything.
Doesn't
potatoes,
have to be plants.
Tree, animal, minerals. Anyway, okay, that's enough. I'm Alice. She's Alex.
I am.
And thank you so much for your support.
Thank you for listening to Twigged. And then we do the snap.
And then the ding ding ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding. twiggedpodcast.com. Was that too much? Did I over-enunciate it?
No, it's not. I have this mental image of someone with a potato tied to their head, and then people following them.